Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, the announcer just told you who I am, and Tim Wildman is the name. I don't know why I said that. That sounds so... It just sounds, I don't know, a little bit arrogant. What? Ed Battagliano to say Tim Wildman is the name when I'm talking in third person.
When I want to drive my wife crazy, yeah. I'll do that.
Talking third person?
Yeah, I'll say, Ed would like a grilled cheese.
Does she get up out of the off the chair and go make
oh, a
it?
Lot of times she, I don't, yeah, I really I know, don't do no. that. But, you know, she'll say.
You're not a sexist or anything.
No, no, I don't.
You can make your own grilled cheese.
I can and have made one for my wife before. I'll get up and say I'm
American or cheddar.
I'm making a grilled cheese.
American or cheddar.
Cheddar.
Cheddar, yeah, me too, cheddar.
I said, I'm going to make a grilled cheese. You want one? She said, sure.
Yeah.
I do that.
Fred Jackson's in studio. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard is in KCKS. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim.
Walker Wildman is not here today. So all you Walker fans, this was his decision. And so he'll be back to, I don't know if he'll be back for trivia. He'll be back Monday for this show. So, but Walker's fine. He just got other.
He'll have his Saturday. His weekend show will air.
Yes. Exposing Washington.
Exposing Washington.
Walker's developing quite a fan base out there.
Deservedly so.
Mm-hmm. On American Family Radio, but that's Saturday at 2?
2, and then Sunday at 2, I think, Central Time.
Yeah. Ray, how's everything in Kansas City?
You know, I'm looking out the window. It's a little, we got some gray skies and maybe a little bit of rain on the way, but we also have best barbecue in America. So, you know, it's a trade-off. We're all good up here.
You can't have a, you can't have a completely bad day when you got the best barbecue in America.
Chamber of Commerce time here.
Yeah, they say the same thing in Memphis. They say the same thing, you know. But, you know, if we're voting for ourselves, right? So, yeah, it's all good here in Kansas.
I got to say, I have never been anywhere and had bad barbecue. Have you guys?
Really?
Yeah. No, I don't try every
some barbecue,
barbecue place.
Better than others, but barbecue, you throw a little barbecue. Have y'all seen the Arby's commercial? Where they
we have the meat.
Well,
right.
Whoever, my wife hates that, but I love.
I know whoever came up with that is very clever because we all know what it is. But I'm talking about the one when the guy's walking through the restaurant. He's like a manager, and he goes, "Here at Arby's, we believe in deep frying everything." And then he says, "And if it doesn't taste good, we believe in deep frying it some more."
That's a southern way of looking at it.
Yeah,
that's
have you great. Seen that commercial?
I have not.
I've got the essence of it. I don't know if I got the verbatim. Uh-huh. Yeah, but I was watching deep that and I was going, did I hear that advertisement right? Because it's like almost a mockery of their. He goes, and if it don't taste good, we believe in deep frying it some more. So, anyway.
Well, I will say one thing about Hardee's slash this is Arby's.
This is Arby's. We have the meat.
Yeah, right, Hardee's right. Now, this goes back probably 8 or 9 years ago. They had some kind of new, they had a $6 burger for $3, and it was a double-decker, and it had onion rings on it and sauce and cheese and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so I had one, and then I looked up the calories for it.
You should never do that. Never
like
do that.
Like 2,300 calories for one burger.
That's a day.
That's a day.
That's actually more than you're supposed to
you
have.
Don't, you don't eat those kind of burgers. You graze on them.
That's right. Thank you.
I thought,
that's
are you serious?
Yeah,
you can you can make a burger with that many calories?
This thing was good. Now, I'm just telling you.
It has to be, right?
Yes, it was amazing.
It must be because you remember it to this day.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, well.
It was great.
Hey, by the way, if you want to watch the show today on the internet, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. And type in Today's Issues, and you can watch this program on Facebook or YouTube. And also, we'll be posting the stories that we'll be discussing, as well as you can interact with other folks who are listening to the program or watching the program. So, much to discuss today, much in the news. Fred, get us started.
Yeah, just a quick update on our lead story from yesterday, the good news that was coming out of Pakistan on a court releasing Asiya Bibi, She is a Christian woman that was held in prison for 5 years, finally released.
On death row.
She was on death row for an alleged case of blasphemy against Muhammad, the Islamic prophet. But anyway, what we know this morning is she does plan to leave that country, but she is still being held in a protected spot because there are thousands of Islamic radical people who still want her dead. They want to take her out and hang her. So she's being protected at the moment still. Her husband and five children are back in Pakistan. They spent most of the last several years that she's been in prison in Britain, but they flew back. And so we don't know when or how this is going to happen, but this morning is definitely she plans to leave the country. So all of that to say, continue prayers for Asia Bibi and her family. They are still in Pakistan. She is being held in a secret spot. I'm assuming the government is going to help her get to a spot, an airstrip somewhere, and get her out of that country.
Well, they would. It'd be good for Pakistan to do it just for peace in their own streets.
But yes.
We should mention that as far as the West can tell, these people out in the streets are just everyday Muslims. I mean, mm-hmm. these are not, you know, what you would call Islamic radicals. These are, Pakistan is a fundamentalist mm-hmm. Muslim country.
Yes.
And these are people crying for her head.
Yes.
If they let her loose in the streets in the day, she wouldn't last 15 minutes.
No.
Somebody would come and kill her and, frankly, would probably get away with it the way things are in Pakistan now. So the best hope, guys, is for her to stay exactly where she is under government protection. And as you said, Fred, be taken to an airport somewhere and then flown out of the country and not even announce it until she is gone for her own safety.
It was also learned today from jail officials there in Islamabad that two inmates were arrested last month at an undisclosed detention facility for planning to kill Bibi by strangling her. Now, this tells me she was being kept in a place where there were male inmates as well. And these men are still being questioned. But that's how bad it was, even inside the prison. It was dangerous for her to be there.
Well, I am thrilled, and any Christian that's been paying attention to this case over the last, it's a decade since the charge, I think 2009 when she was first charged. Mm. Well, so it's almost a decade. I'm thrilled for her and her family. If they can get them to Britain mm-hmm. or somewhere even safer, yes. I don't know, there are radicals in Britain too. So
yes.
Well, and the judges, Ed, who set her free, they are now facing enormous death threats.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that just shows how dangerous the situation is for any Christian in Pakistan. It's got to be possibly the most dangerous place in the world to be Christian right now. If not, it's in the top four or five of danger spots. Yeah. So,
again, Ray, I'll ask you this question too, just so we understand as best we can, I guess, how this happens, because this is completely not representative of Western countries. We don't treat people like this because they have different religious views. But just so people can get a grasp here, so Ed mentioned Pakistan is an Islamic fundamentalist country.
Under Sharia law.
Under Sharia law. So you might say to yourself, why are these people, this is just a woman who got some water and she's a Christian and she doesn't believe in Allah, so we put her in prison and want her killed? That's nuts, okay? Well, to these people who are behaving like this against her and also make Christians' life dangerous day in and day out over there, as you guys have explained, and as we've seen stories every few months, we'll see some Christian wedding or some Christian church was attacked in Pakistan. Well, these people, these Muslims, believe that the Christians are blaspheming Allah, their God. And their God expects them to take retaliation physically against those who blaspheme.
Yes.
So in their minds, Well, it's nuts to us. It stands to reason, I guess you could say, or it makes sense. So they think that if they don't take retaliation against the Christian who blasphemed Allah, Allah might take it out on them. Have I got this right, Ray?
Yeah, you've got it exactly right.
Okay.
That in attacking her, they are in the service of their God, Allah, and they are protecting themselves from his wrath.
Okay.
Which is why she doesn't stand a chance if they just right. let her out today.
Right.
Somebody kill her in the streets. It wouldn't just be like mob justice. They would do it in the name of their God and their religion.
And this is what makes life so dangerous for Christians in Muslim-dominant countries all over the world. Mm-hmm. Okay? Well, what I just laid out for you. So when the next time you hear somebody say, as we Americans are so apt to do, when something we don't understand and atrocious happens, we go, well, that's just nuts. Or that's just crazy. Or these people are out of their minds. Well, I know what you mean by that, but no, they're not out of their minds. They know exactly what they're doing, and I just gave you the reasons why they do what they do. So that's hard for Americans or Westerners in general to comprehend, because we go, as Thomas Jefferson did when he was confronting a Muslim representative from Tripoli. Asking them, why are you attacking our American ships? We haven't done anything to you. When they come through the Mediterranean off the coast of North Africa, then the representative from Tripoli said to Thomas Jefferson, because we're Muslims and our God tells us to. Hmm. What's your next question?
Yeah.
You know, and Thomas Jefferson goes,
seriously?
you can't be serious, basically. And then he went back and studied the Quran and then understand what is a lot of the Islam teaching is supremacy. They have supremacy over everybody else.
And infidels.
The infidels. So when you wonder how they can blow up, you know, the Twin Towers and 9/11 happens, it's because they believe they're on a mission from Allah. It's a religious teaching. And
we're called the Great Satan.
Yeah, so when people in America cite this and say the reason they're doing this is because of their religion and their religious teaching, and then the left says, "Oh, you're Islamophobic." No, we're not Islamophobic. We're talking rationally here about why these people do what they do. Why can't you admit to this? And the left doesn't want to admit to this because I don't know why. Why don't
Well, let me just say first that nobody called the West, nobody called the United States Nazi-phobic when we were fighting Nazi Germany. Nobody called us during the Cold War, you know, communist-phobic, you know, because we were resisting ideologies. Mm-hmm. And so nowadays, when people are saying, mm-hmm. listen, this is Islamic teaching, this fundamentalist Islamic
teaching, which not all Muslims subscribe to,
is an ideology. We're not hating Muslims.
Right.
We're not even hating someone's religion. We are battling an ideology that seeks to dominate the world, just like Nazism and communism.
And they don't try to hide that.
No.
But the American left, the media and our politicians, they try to hide it. What do you think? Well, I know we're getting way off. No, we're not getting way off. This is fine. We can get to other things later. But, Ray, my question to you is, and we've kind of explored this before, why do you think and I'll give you examples of this, the Fort Hood attack.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remember by the Muslim?
Nadal Hassan.
Okay. Remember right. the military tried to scrub his religious beliefs from the reasons why he did this.
Right,
remember
right.
that?
They called it workplace violence.
Yeah, and then the Muslim attacked the in Chattanooga, shot up the U.S. military recruiting station there. Mm-hmm. And the FBI months later goes, we just can't figure out why he did this. I'm serious.
Yeah, I know it.
We just don't know what the motive was. Mm-hmm. And then that's what President Obama did, constantly refusing to even go to the teachings of the Quran to explain why these acts of jihad. He wouldn't even admit jihad existed.
Right.
President Obama would. I contend that he knew it did, but he didn't want to admit it. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Well, Ray, he had
to know Tim. He was raised not as a Muslim, but he was raised with Muslim background, Muslim training in some of the schools he attended as a child. He had to know that these Muslim fundamentalists.
Why do you pretend not to know then?
That's politics.
Well,
right?
I will say this, and I know we got to get Fred in here, but President Bush did some of the same thing.
But he did it so out of ignorance, I believe.
Well, I think that probably both President Bush and President Obama, although this is more so, I think, on Bush's part, President Bush was wanting to get Muslim countries on our side.
Sure.
To hunt down the jihadists. And so he did not want to anger those Muslim countries by saying the problem is Islam. And so he framed it as the problem was radical Islam, please Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, you come on our side and help us. I think it was, like as Ray said, that was political. But now President Obama, that there might have been a little bit more affinity for it. I don't know.
And the insanity during the Obama years. Remember the State Department? All these radicals need are jobs.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember those
statements? That was after the London attack.
Exactly. Really, yeah. What they need is jobs.
Right.
And everything will be fine. How insane that was. But I also want to mention, we mentioned this briefly yesterday, this thinking of not offending Islam has entered into the Western world as well. And we mentioned the Human Rights Court in the European Union. Human Rights Court decision in the last few days. Somebody brought before that court who had said Mohammed was a pedophile because he married a 9-year-old.
Right.
And the court said, it wasn't an issue of whether that was true or not. Right. Because
that
he did marry.
Hate speech on its face they're basically saying you can't say that.
You can't say that.
You don't have free speech to say that.
Yeah, you can't offend Muslims by saying what their leader did.
Right.
I mean, so the thinking about not offending Muhammad, not offending Islam, has entered into, and I would say even on university campuses in this country now,
yes,
thanks to the Muslim student associations, which are financed by Saudi Arabia, folks.
Right.
They get millions of dollars, and thanks to organizations like CARE.
And thanks to liberal, radical left professors.
Exactly.
Right.
So that thinking you can't offend a Muslim has entered into the thinking even here in America.
Why don't you think, though, that, Ray, if it's true, that the vast majority of Muslims don't act out on this jihad teaching in the Quran?
Well, we've already said not all of them. There are, can we say, denominations? There are groups. There are different factions of Muslims. And here in the West, there are lots of Muslims who have been relatively Westernized in their view of their own religion. So they read it, but they don't take it literally, or they don't take it seriously. They don't see
it as... If they read it.
Right. Thank you. If they read it at all.
Yeah, because there are a lot of Muslims who are like, you know, you've heard the backslidden Christians? Are Christians by family?
Name only.
By name only. And there are a lot of Muslims like that. They couldn't cite you one verse in the Quran, hardly, but... I mean, they certainly don't turn toward Mecca 5 times a day.
Right.
But if you ask them, they would say Allah is God, you know, because that's how they were raised or they were taught. And we won't, but still, to say that they're most Muslims don't act out on this, that's not mutually exclusive from saying, but it is a teaching in the Quran that is there. So.
Yeah. Well, there are 1.5 billion Muslims in the world today, according to Wikipedia. So suppose it's only 10% who follow this radical. That's 150 million people. Suppose it's 5%. Yeah. That's 75 million radicalized people who can do enormous damage.
And I would say this, the reason you don't see more acts against Christians in America, for example, is because these people are in the vast minority. And I think it's easier to just treat people like this Christian woman in Pakistan if you're 90% of the population.
Right.
If you're 2%, 3%, you don't feel the freedom to speak as boldly as right. you would against the values of the people that you're living amongst.
Yes.
If that makes sense. Next next story, Fred.
5 days.
5 days until
to Election
when?
Day.
Election Day.
It's coming at us.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And
I hadn't heard anything about it.
What, there's an election?
There's an election coming.
I'll tell you what, if I ever catch the culprit that gave my email and sold my email to probably 173 politicians
yeah.
and candidates. Huh? Am I the only
not
one?
Not even in my right. state. I'm not even in their state.
Right.
I'm
are you getting these, Ray? Yeah.
Yes, from everywhere.
Well, and the story is really that's developing in this election. You know, midterms are supposed to be the quiet elections, you know,
yeah.
not as many.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. That doesn't seem to be the case. Got a story that we put on One News Now yesterday. Early voting in Florida surges past 2014 totals.
Wow.
All right. So that's the last midterm. More than 3.4 million people in Florida have already voted.
What does that mean?
What does that mean is that there is energy like there normally isn't in this midterm. You got the
love Trump, hate Trump?
Well, yeah, because in Florida, in that 3.4 million total, 1.43 million ballots have been cast for Republicans, 1.37 million for registered Democrats. Still, president was in Florida last night, Fort Myers area, had a big rally there. I'm going to play you cut four here. And he was talking about, and he was asking about people if they voted already. Have a listen.
Who voted? Who voted? Oh, wow. Everybody voted already? Then what am I doing here tonight? Goodbye, everyone.
So there's the president.
That's great.
He was having a bit of fun last night with all of that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It is. I mean, the people are energized, and we've had kind of the discussion before. What is it about got the Republicans going? I think the Kavanaugh thing certainly kind of energized people. The whole immigration, the caravan approaching our U.S. borders, the three caravans now. And so something has got them going, and this president, I think, is responsible. He's got two or three rallies, I think, almost every day between now and Election Day. All over
the
country.
And that's covered by local news media, state media, by national media. We just covered, you know, him being in Fort Myers. I think that the Kavanaugh hearings woke up Trump supporters.
Yeah.
I think they realized the amount of hostility and hatred on the other side was real and it was dangerous.
Yeah.
And they said, we'd better go out and vote. Yeah. Because I think that a lot of the polls in terms of just generic ballots and stuff like that were showing Democrats with a wide lead, and that started to narrow during and after the hearings, Kavanaugh hearings.
Well, he had another theme at his Florida rally, too. This probably will come as breaking news and shocking. He doesn't like the mainstream media very much, and he was proving that once again, cut two.
After this day of unity and togetherness, I came home and sadly turned on the news and watched as the far left media once again used tragedy to sow anger and division. It was fake and it was make-believe what they said. The far left media has spread terrible lies and stories about the Trump administration and the tens of millions of people who make up our great movement, the greatest political movement in the history of our country. The greatest.
So there you have it. You know, he ain't backing away from his criticism of the media, and that's driving the media crazy.
We'll be back in a minute with more of today's issues. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day. or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved. Submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper, they aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
You know, I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
From Graceworks Pictures comes Indivisible, based on the true story of Army Chaplain Darren Turner and his wife, Heather.
It is with great honor that I have served my country. But I only stand before you today because Jesus is my rock and because I have a family who loves and believes in me.
One marriage, one family, under God, indivisible. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing. More information is available at indivisiblemovie.com.
Jim Brown is a football legend, a member of the College Football Hall of Fame and the NFL Hall of Fame. Sporting News says Brown is the greatest professional football player in the history of the game. He is American sports royalty. So when Jim Brown speaks, it's a pretty good idea to listen to what he says. The other day, he was asked about all those NFL players taking a knee during the national anthem.
I don't think that we should take knees in protest instead of standing up for our flag. I think we should work out our problems as a family. I am an American. That flag is my flag, and I want to represent it that way.
Now that is the voice of reason, a voice seasoned by patriotism and wisdom. And imagine how much better off our nation would be if more American kids would emulate people like Jim Brown instead of people like Colin Kaepernick. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of the program. Thank you for listening. If you want to send us a positive and encouraging email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Negative or critical comments be sent to Ed Vitagliano at his inbox,
which will then be deleted.
Yes, right.
Without a response.
Right. If you ignore it, it doesn't exist.
That's right.
That's the spirit right there.
That's right. Kind of like when
that's leadership, Ed.
When I don't get to the weed eating, it doesn't exist.
That's right. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
What you ignore goes away.
Hey, Ray, I don't know if you were on with us when Ed was on with us earlier this summer when we were talking about yard mowing season. And Ed says he intentionally tries to scald scalping.
Yeah.
Scalp his yard.
So that the grass will die.
Right. That's his
goal. You mean cut it really, 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 really short.
Cut it really, really short.
You know how you drive by a yard and you go, man, that guy butchered his yard. It's yellow. Well, you drive by Ed's yard, you can go, Ed accomplished what he wanted to there.
No, if it's yellow, that's a job not accomplished.
Oh, okay. If it's dirt.
It's got to be brown.
Gotcha.
It's got to be brown. Okay.
All right.
I'm with you, Ed.
You like this time of year because grass dies, right?
It does.
Okay. That's exactly right.
All right. Ed mourns the arrival of spring when most of us rejoice at the growth and the warm weather and the color.
I do.
No, Ed says, no, it's yard mowing season. All right, Fred Jackson in with me, Tim Wildman, Ed Vitagliano, and Dr. Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. Three of us are in Tupelo. Thank you for listening to AFR. Well, One of the things we do here at American Family Association, you know, American Family Association is the parent ministry of American Family Radio. So we do, under our umbrella here, lots of things other than radio, although radio's probably one of the biggest things that we do. Something else we do is we try to reach millennials or the younger generation, although they're getting older, the millennials are. They're having children and house notes and, and car notes and parents-teachers conferences and things like that. Those are things that are starting to come up, so the idealism is waning. But nonetheless, we try to there are a lot of questions that millennials have about the Christian faith and how the Christian worldview is applicable to everyday life. And so we have an outreach division called Engage that seeks to do what we can to reach out to the millennial generation. And we have a guest,
Cedra. Yes, Cedra Sarton, who is content coordinator. Is that right?
That's correct.
For Engage. So, kind of what our...
Content coordinator. I've never heard that title before.
Actually, your son is the one that came up with it. Wesley.
He was?
So, yeah.
You mean Wesley, not Walker?
Yes, Wesley. He's the one that came up with
it. I didn't say it was bad. I just said I never heard of it before.
No, I just wanted you to know. Okay. You can have that argument with him
later. You didn't want the title. That's what Wesley gave you. You wanted president of Engage.
Yes, but he took it.
Right. Mm-hmm. He content coordinator.
Yes.
CC. What do y'all do at... what do y'all, we do... at Engage?
Well, one of the main things that we do is we continue to put out articles weekly. We try to put out at least 3 articles a week on our website, which is where you'll find most of the content at engagemagazine.net. But once a year, we put out a hard copy, because some people do like to have a copy in their hand.
A magazine.
It's something that people can leave at places where they think people would benefit from it. They can give it to friends. They can give it to family. People will pick up a magazine and flip through it.
This is a great magazine.
It really
is. I'll tell
you
something. We do this annually, though?
Yes.
The website is constantly changing.
Yes, it's constantly
changing. Now, what's the website?
Engagemagazine.net.
Engagemagazine.net. Now, the hard copy, can people get this yet?
Yes, they can. Starting today, actually, you can go to engagemagazine.net, click at the top. There's a tab that says magazine. You just click on that, and it has all the information for you to fill out and be able to get your free copy of it.
And we've had this outreach for how long?
Well, this is our 3rd magazine that we put out. We've been doing Engage for about 4 years now.
What's on the website? What are you guys trying to do? I know we have the weekend radio program as well, but what's the goal?
It's just... our goals are kind of changing, and, you know, as our generation gets
relativism,
older.
Relativism, Cedra, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
what we're about here?
We're trying to cater to just the young generation. Like you said, the millennials are getting older. Some of us are still not.
They don't need to be catered to anymore, but anyway, go ahead.
Some of us are still not married. So if my mom's listening, I'm admitting that. But some of us, like you said, are getting older, and so we're trying to kind of expand to – even younger, Generation Z, and then as we get older. But our goal is to just write things that are relevant, but also centered in Christ. Our motto is Share Truth, Apply Scripture. That's also the title of our radio program that's every
Saturday.
Which
is very good, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I've heard it.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you think so, since I'm on there. I appreciate that.
It's very good, and Jordan Chambly and Wesley Wildman are on, and including you, Cedra Sarton, who is content coordinator. And it's a good sound. I listen Saturday. I don't normally listen to radio on Saturday just because I'm just not in my car a whole lot.
It's because you're worshiping sports.
Or I'm doing yard work, Tim.
Or studying the Bible.
Studying the Bible. That's right. So,
well, you don't have to listen on Saturday. We do have a podcast.
That's what I was going to say. So if someone doesn't hear it on Saturday on radio, get the podcast. They have to go to AFR.net for that, or can they go to Engage Magazine?
Either one. If they go to AFR.net, they can still find the podcast there. It will just link them to our website. Mm-hmm. But if they want to go to our YouTube channel, which is also on our website, they can see our faces as we do
the podcast. One of the many things I like about Engage and what you guys are doing is you, for the most part, are younger adults, okay? You are examining some of the major issues, both those in our culture, but also Christian spiritual issues. Mm-hmm. You address those from the perspective of folks who are younger. You're doing that for people your own age, but even younger. But a lot of the things you guys talk about, anybody would benefit from.
Yes.
Because this is just some of the struggles we all have mm-hmm. in terms of our Christian walk. And so anybody could get their free copy of Engage magazine. We'll tell people how to do that again in just a second. But then they could order more of these, right?
Yes,
and
they would
could
like to.
Give them away to family members or, like you said, you know, leave them in a doctor's office, get permission first, those kind of things, or hand them to a young person and say, hey, you ought to check these guys out. So tell our listeners again how they can do that.
Go to engagemagazine.net. There's a tab at the top that says magazine. Just click on that. You can fill out your information, and we'll send you your copy. Free copy, yep.
Okay. Thank you, Cedra.
Thank you so
content
much.
Content coordinator for Engage.
Thank y'all.
All right.
Yes, I just had one more question.
Yeah.
Now we're down to the Generation Z.
Is that the ones behind the millennials?
That's the ones behind the millennials.
So how old are they?
It's not an exact science.
College age. We have articles from a few. I know if y'all remember Kelly, whose last name is Crampton. There it is. In my head now. She was with us. She's written for us. We look to, you know, people older than us. We look for wisdom from them, from, you know, things that they know that we don't know. We have Dr. Alex McFarland. He's got an article in here as well. Yeah. And we have Brother Bert. He's written for us and several others. So.
To answer your question, though, Fred, if you're finding out what the next one is behind the millennials that are coming up, it means they pushed you on up to the you're about to be called an old –
Well, over, my no question fogey. Is has to do with this. We're running out of the letters of the alphabet.
That's right.
We're what down do we do? To Z. What That's happens right.
we
next?
We cycle back through. Generation
back.
A right. coming up.
Generation right.
Thank you, Cedra.
AA.
All right.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Ray, and Fred, baby boomers all. I think you guys are I'm at the tail end of the baby. I was 1963. I think the baby boomers ended in 65 or so.
I think that's right. I was born in 58. I'm right. You're smack
baby,
in the middle.
You're right. You're right in the middle of baby boomers too, aren't you, Ray?
No, I was born in 52, so that puts me near the front end of the baby boomers.
What about you, Fred?
Yeah, 54 for me. Yeah.
Now, okay. So 52. Ray's the oldest.
Yes.
He's the oldest fogey in here.
That's
so
right,
did you guys story. Have a generation? Were you guys the greatest generation? Is that who you guys were?
And that was the one before. That
Their
was
parents.
Our parents.
Parents.
Yes.
Okay.
That's our parents.
So what name do you guys have? If we're baby boomers. Are you a
no,
baby
we're
boomer?
All baby, you're
we're
a baby
all, we're
boomer.
We're all baby boomers. We're just older baby boomers.
Okay. Right.
I'm a younger baby boomer.
Okay.
I'm hip. I'm a hip baby boomer.
You're hip.
In case people wanted to know.
Yeah. We got this baby boomer. We're all entering retirement, you know?
Yeah.
That's right.
In the next 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Back to the election.
Yes,
5 days from now.
Uh-huh.
Montana, the Senate race there is one of the interesting ones. Everybody is watching. The incumbent is Democrat John Tester, and he's the one who really insulted the man who was going to be the Surgeon General. Remember, it was Admiral Jackson, and said all kinds of false things about him.
That's right.
And General Jackson, I promoted him, but anyway, he withdrew from that. From being Surgeon General.
And the accusations were false, right?
The accusations were false. Anyway, interesting race out there. Now, the Republican out there is Matt Rosendale, and they're about 3 or 4 points apart in the latest polls. But yesterday, something happened very interesting in that race. The Libertarian in that race, Rick Breckinridge, basically tossed in the towel. He is really upset with Tester's campaign. And is accusing them of putting out a false ad, which basically said against the Republican. And the ad said that Matt Rosendale, the Republican, wants to use drones and patrols to spy on our private lives. It's a mailer. Rick Breckinridge is a true conservative and opposes government intrusion into Montana's private lives. So what the Libertarian Breckinridge is saying is, I never paid for that ad. There's dirty money coming into this campaign, and I'm so upset about this, I'm throwing in the towel, and I'm endorsing the Republican. So
this ad was done in Breckinridge's name?
That's right. It was done in the Libertarian's name. Critical of the Republican, The Libertarian said, I had nothing to do with this. It's dirty money coming in, and he's blaming the Tester campaign for this. So this may be enough. Breckinridge, the Libertarian, has been getting about 4 or 5% in the polls. So that may be enough to close the gap on that one. So that's Montana race is one we're going to be watching closely on election night. Now, another interesting kind of development, another interesting one has been here, is the whole Texas governor. Now, everybody thought, you know, Ted Cruz, cakewalk out there because it's Texas and Ted Cruz is very popular. But, of course, the Democrat there has been doing extremely well. And so this morning, Dana Loesch, who is a regular contributor on Fox.
You're talking about the Senate race, not the
Senate
governor's.
Race. Yes, okay. The Senate race out there. And so Dana Loesch was asked by the host, one of the hosts at Fox and Friends, Ainsley Earnhardt, why is it even close in Texas between a Democrat and a Republican? And Dana Loesch had a very interesting response to this. Cut 7.
There's a UT Tyler poll that came out just the other day that showed a 3-point lead between Cruz and O'Rourke. It all depends, of course, on where these Texas suburbs are going to go and where rural East Texas is going to go as well.
Why is that, though? Because when you think of the state of Texas, you just think the Bush family, you think conservative.
One of the things, like we've seen in Nevada and we've seen in some other states, a lot of Californians have moved to Texas because Texas has been very successful in luring a lot of businesses because of the no state income tax, the friendly business climate. And with those businesses that come to Texas, you have some of those employees that come with them.
Very interesting response. I've kind of wondered that. Why is it even close in Texas? Well, and she says, and I'm sure on some degree of research, is that, and she's right, Texas has been busy out recruiting people to move from California to Texas because the taxes are so high, etc. Could it be that these Californians that have moved to Texas are actually somewhat responsible for this race being closer than what a lot of people thought it would be?
Well, I mean, if I was a Californian, I'd be leaving the state. And they're not only doing that in Texas. I don't doubt what Dana Loesch is saying. But Brian Fisher, who he and his wife are from Idaho, they said that folks they know in Idaho, same thing's happening. People moving from California, especially, but also Washington, maybe some, and Oregon. They're changing the political landscape of the state. That happened in my home state of New Hampshire. Used to be, you know, rock-ribbed Republican. It was the red state in the middle of blue New England. And what happened was people in Massachusetts, for the most part, left what we called Taxachusetts, even back then, and moved to New Hampshire and turned the state purple.
So get this, folks. These are people, Democrats, who supported electing Democrat governments in these states.
Who ruined their state.
Now they don't like the high taxes that their socialist governments brought in those states, and now they're moving to conservative states and may be responsible for some of those conservative states.
Going to ruin Texas.
Yeah.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but a lot of them may have moved there because they had to, because of their jobs, not because they were trying to necessarily escape the liberalism of California. Well, that's curious. I would like to see some, not that I doubt Dana, but I would like to see some statistics on that. My guess would be, and I don't have to provide statistics for my own argument because it's just a guess, and I prefaced it that way, and I'd like to hear what Ray has to say about this. I think the race is closer in Texas maybe than it would normally be for this reason. It's a midterm election year. The Democrats are running around like their hair is on fire, telling us the world's going to end as we know it, should Republicans maintain power and President Trump gets his way. And so millions and millions of dollars, Ted Cruz is being outspent 3-1 in Texas. So a lot of energy is with the progressive, liberal, Democratic side to beat Republicans here. And so it has caused the gap to narrow more than it would if this were, say, 2 years from now, for example.
In a normal situation in Texas, Ted Cruz would win by 15 points, I think.
Right.
These are not normal times.
Right.
Dana's right on the – Dana Loesch is right. I mean, the influx of people from the high-tax big blue states has changed to some degree the voting population of the state of Texas. Dallas, the city, San Antonio, the city, and Austin, that whole area, they're going to vote Democrat. Those are blue areas. Anything outside the cities is going to be deep red. She mentioned the suburbs. That's kind of interesting. Plano, Richardson, Frisco, McKinney, those are sort of affluent suburbs on the north side of Dallas. That's really where it's going to be, where it's going to be decided. But I don't think in 2018 there's any real chance that Ted Cruz is going to lose. It's just not going to be. He's not going to win by 15. I think he's going to win by maybe 5 to 8 points,
right,
and go back into the Senate for 6 more years. Texas is changing in part because of the population shift. I mean, it's a great place to live compared to the high-tech states of New England and, say, what's going on out in California.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and we thank you for listening. Dr. Alex McFarland is with us now. He normally joins us on Thursdays, that he is available. And Alex is heard each afternoon with Brother Bert Harper on the program Exploring the Word here at 3 o'clock, 3:05 to be precise, Central Time on American Family Radio, and on air live study of the Word of God, which is the Bible. Alex, good morning to you.
Hello, gentlemen. It's a joy to listen.
North Carolina is where you hail from, right, Alex?
That's right. The Tar Heel State, which everybody says, hey, Billy Graham's state and Andy Griffith was from there, but it's not as conservative as you might assume.
We were just talking about Texas. North Carolina is another state that's gone from very conservative to toss-up state in a presidential election. In fact, last go-around, it was a toss-up state that President Trump won. What did he? How? What did he win by? A couple points? 3 points?
Yeah, I mean it was a razor's edge. It was my joy being from North Carolina. Tony Perkins asked me to help organize some rallies, which we worked hard to do throughout North Carolina. And you know, one of the things, and I don't want to be negative, but it was hard, really, really difficult to get pastors to be willing just to encourage their congregations to vote. And, you know, we weren't being overtly partisan, but at the same time, I mean, most people know where I stand on the issues. And so churches that I had preached in throughout North Carolina's 100 counties, you know, I would say, look, can FRC come and we're going to do a prayer for the election thing? And pastors would say, Alex, you know I'm with you. I am with you, but I don't touch politics. And do you know 74% of all parishioners want their clergy to speak about moral, social, and political issues? So I would say,
you can speak about issues and define issues and not have to get necessarily name candidates.
Exactly.
You can do that. The hesitancy I would see, although I think most of the pastors not wanting to get involved in, quote, politics is a ruse. I think it's just a excuse for not wanting to stand up, and be counted. Because of this reason, you can talk about, okay, I don't know what in the world a pastor would have an objection to this. You say, look, here are the moral issues that the Bible addresses clearly, and here's where these candidates stand, or here's where these parties stand. And then people are smart enough to make up their own mind after giving the proper information. But these are great moral issues of our time, mm-hmm. and to be silent, to me, is cowardice.
Well,
Alex,
it is. I know everybody knows that very famous quote by Edmund Burke, who was a leader in colonial America, but Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Mm-hmm. And so let me say this, having pastored two churches, and I understand the line of diplomacy pastors sometimes have to walk, but this Sunday, brother pastors across this nation, I implore you to speak pointedly and clearly, to urge your people to pray and to vote. Because, you know, we're talking, sure, there's the issue of life and Roe v. Wade. But we're talking about the future of the Constitution.
Religious freedom?
Religious freedom. And it's a fact. I was on a call with George Barna. Okay, pastors, and I have been one and am a pastor in many ways still, but I've pastored a church of 200. I pastored a church of 3,000. Believe me, I know the dynamics. But 74% of your parishioners want you to speak to the moral, social, cultural issues. Only 12% of pastors actually do. And so have courage, brother pastor. Have boldness before God. This is about the America that our grandkids will live in and whether or not we can live and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray and speak and tell your voting parishioners what thus saith the Lord.
I just want to add, I was in a church in Southern California last Sunday, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. The pastor there, before he began his sermon, had four candidates come out on the stage. One of them is running for Secretary of State of California. The other three, two of which are pastors, are running for positions on school district. And he said, I know there's the Johnson Amendment, but this president said he's not going to force the Johnson Amendment. I'm endorsing all of these.
Wow. Amen.
And he had each of them come up to the podium. They're all Christians. Like I said, two of them
are from his church?
No. These are the guys that I'm endorsing, folks. Yeah. He also had an information session to give people details on what the major issues are.
Hey, Ray, how did you handle this? You were a pastor for many years, like Alex.
Yeah, I pastored a red church in a very blue suburb of the city of Chicago. And I decided early on that to do exactly as Alex advised us to do, that my people need, and you know, Alex, you pointed out 74%. The people in the pews, they want the pastor to give spiritual leadership.
Amen.
Now, I never went to as far as what, you know, was just described, but you really didn't have to do that. I just, if you talk about pro-life, if you talk about what the Bible says, if you talk about religious liberty, if you talk about moral issues and apply the Bible to them, and just tell them, take your Christian convictions with you into the voting booth. Just don't leave the Bible outside.
Yeah.
Take what you believe with you into the voting booth. The people are wise enough to do exactly the right thing.
No, I agree. That's really all you're obliged to do. What the pastor did there in California is unusual. But I think what Ray described and what Alex described is carrying out their responsibility enough to satisfy most of your parishioners who are looking for guidance. Because I understand the hesitancy. If I were a pastor, I would be a little hesitant about endorsing a particular candidate for fear that I come out and say, yes, I'm for John Doe. And then tomorrow John Doe says something, you go, wow.
Yikes.
I can't endorse that.
Right.
So I guess I'll withdraw it today and give it back tomorrow and withdraw it the next day and give it back. You know what I'm saying? So you don't get involved in necessarily endorsing candidates, and you don't have to, as Ray said and Alex said. You just say what the Bible says about the issues of the day, and people are smart enough to make up their own mind on what they...
And use a voter guide.
And use the voter guide.
Right. Absolutely.
Use the voter guide. We have a great voter guide, by the way, that we participate in. Ed, you want to give that address? iVoterGuide.com, isn't it? Come on, Ed. You're our VP, man. I'm counting on you because I'm the president and I can't remember.
Right after the break, we will have the correct...
That's right. We'll have this.
It's iVoterGuide.com.
.com.
I think.
All right.
We're going to have executive committee meeting after I get coffee. You going to be here?
I will. I'm looking it up right now. iVoterGuide.com.
There you go. I did remember.
You can't tell, but I'm blushing.
Alex, thanks. Appreciate it, brother.
God bless you all. God bless you.
Alex McFarland. And Ray will be back with Ed. Memory lapse, Ed Battagliano, and Tim Wildman. I thought I got it right, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was .com or .net.
Fred, thank you.
All right.
It's .com.
Okay, Steve Jordahl will be with us in 5 minutes. We'll see you back here then.